Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more online about them at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, we're going to be talking about the Freedom Riders and Historic Rock Hill and the Freedom Walkway, and if you name it, we're going to be talking about it today with Gladys Robinson. Now, get this now. Want a title for somebody? Listen to this. Gladys is the chair of the African American Cultural Resource Advisory Commission to the city committee to the city of Rock Hill. Phew! And then there's just Stephen Turner over here, who's a member of Historic Rock Hill. Thank you both for being here today. So Gladys, tell everybody a little bit about you before we start talking about all this other stuff.
All right. I'm a native Rock Hillian. I attended the public schools of Rock Hill. I graduated from Emmett Scott. I retired from education in 2010, after 32 years. I have been chair of the African American Cultural Resource Advisory Committee since 2012, and I just enjoy being a part of this whole experience and this effort to preserve the history of Rock Hill.
Good. Now, Stephen Turner, most people know him from his days with the city of Rock Hill. Many, many, many days with the city of Rock Hill. Recently retired. It's not been quite a year yet, has it?
August of last year I retired.
August of last year, but you're now very involved, as you have been for a number of years, with the history of Rock Hill, and you're on the board of Historic Rock Hill.
That's right.
And the mission of Historic Rock Hill is what?
Well, the mission of Historic Rock Hill is to preserve and tell the stories and keep the memories of the history of Rock Hill. The last 10 years, people have probably known us mostly for the White Home, which was a big, big undertaking for a small nonprofit to buy that house and redevelop it. But we are really more than that, and we're trying to get back to our roots now of participating in telling all the stories of all the people of Rock Hill.
All right, so one of the big stories about Rock Hill and its history with civil rights has to do with the Freedom Riders. And I'm going to let, I don't know who wants to jump in on this, to just start telling the story of what we're talking about, but go right ahead.
Well, I think it's important to understand that Stephen is a member of Historic Rock Hill, but this is this whole effort to tell the story of the Freedom Riders is one that will be told by many committees that are represented in the community, including the African American Cultural Resources Advisory Committee, the Freedom Walkway Committee, the Human Relations Committee. So although the Historic Rock Hill is somewhat providing the leadership or the sort of steering it, it encompasses a wide variety of other organizations that are involved in it as well.
All right, so when we talk about Freedom Riders, what are we talking about, Stephen?
Yeah.
Well, the Freedom Riders were a group of people organized through the Congress of Racial Equality in 1961. Their purpose was to challenge the segregated bus systems and bus stations that were prevalent throughout the South. Mm-hmm. The segregated buses and segregated bus stations were illegal under federal law, mm-hmm. but the laws were not being enforced. And so the Congress of Racial Equality decided that they were going to send a group of people on Greyhound and Trailways buses through the South to challenge segregation in individual communities and individual bus stations. And so they left Washington, D.C. in early May of 1961 with 13 individuals, and they were black, white, old, young, male, mm-hmm. female. And so they were traveling along a route that had been pre-planned. Rock Hill was on that route because in 1960 and 61, Rock Hill was one of the hot spots of the civil rights movement in the entire United States. This was 3 months after the Friendship Nine, This was a year after the lunch counter sit-ins began in Rock Hill, one of the early cities in the South for the lunch counter sit-ins. So Rock Hill was a hot spot of the civil rights movement. And so the Freedom Riders arrived in Rock Hill on May the 9th, 1961. To this point, they have traveled from Washington through Virginia and through North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And their travels to this point had been largely uneventful. They had successfully desegregated mm-hmm. bus stations and buses in communities in Virginia and North Carolina without much incident.
But that wasn't the case when they arrived in Rock Hill.
That was not the case when they arrived in Rock Hill.
As a matter of fact, the only incident they had incurred was in Charlotte, and I believe one Freedom Rider was arrested.
Trying to get a shoe shine.
That was the only incident that they encountered throughout their whole journey until they got to Rock Hill. But at that particular time, Thomas Gaither, who is a member of the Friendship Nine, was at that time a field secretary for Corps, and part of his responsibilities included paving the way and finding safe haven for the Freedom Riders as they were traveling. And he lived in Rock Hill. So we believe that he was partly responsible for the group coming to Rock Hill and being a part of this experience. He was also responsible for warning the leadership in Washington that there was the possibility that they were going to run into a problem in Rock Hill because of what had occurred with the Friendship Nine just 3 months earlier.
So the bus station at that time was where?
There were two bus stations. The Greyhound station was on the corner of Black Street and Oakland Avenue, mm-hmm. behind what is today First Citizens Bank.
Yeah.
The Trailway station was on Oakland Avenue behind the Guardian building, between the Guardian building and what used to be the old public library. I don't know what to call that building today, but between St. John's Methodist Church and Main Street along right. Oakland Avenue.
All right.
The first bus arrived at the Greyhound station on the morning of May 9th. The riders on that bus included John Lewis, future congressman from Georgia and really a hero of the civil rights movement. John Lewis and another individual, a white man, academic from Connecticut, attempted to enter together the white waiting room of the Greyhound bus station. They were accosted by a group of youths who had been playing pinball in the bus station, but were apparently waiting for them to come. They challenged them, said, told John Lewis he could not go in the white waiting area, and John Lewis replied that he had the constitutional right under federal law to be there. That then provoked an attack. They attacked John Lewis, beat him up pretty badly. The gentleman that was with John Lewis stepped in the way and stepped in between the attackers and John Lewis. He was then attacked. And then there was a third person, a woman, who was knocked to the ground as well. A police officer who was standing nearby watching all this happen then told them, well, that's enough. You need to get out of here. Other police officers arrived. They offered John Lewis and the group, asked them if they wanted to press charges. They said they did not, that their goal was not to be dealing with individuals, that they were challenging the entire system of segregation within the South, and they weren't interested in pursuing charges against individuals. So then they went, John Lewis bleeding from his lips and eyes. They went into the bus station, sat down, had a cup of coffee at the restaurant in the bus station, which was for whites only, so they successfully desegregated that bus station. Later in the day, the second bus, the Trailways bus, arrived. When they arrived, they found that the Trailways station was closed and locked, probably to prevent them from entering it. There was a group of whites who were gathered there, presumably to do a repeat of what happened in the morning at the Greyhound station. Reverend Cecil Ivory, who is one of the heroes of the local civil rights movement, shepherded them away and took them to Friendship College, where they spent the evening.
And they later went to Reverend Ivory's home, the old parsonage beside Herman Presbyterian Church on David Lau Boulevard, and he actually met with the Freedom Riders at his home, and his wife also prepared a meal for them there. And at some point, we haven't really been able to nail down when they actually met. A group also met at Newmont Olive at AME Zion Church at some point, but we're not exactly sure. So they did have contact with the community, and they were supposed to stay at Friendship College during the time that they were here. And I'm just assuming that they did, because we haven't read anything to say that they stayed anywhere else.
The rest of this story, I can remember clearly maybe 10 years ago when John Lewis came for an MLK breakfast. This story was told then, and the gentleman
apologized.
Who was there, who I guess slugged him, was there to apologize publicly before hundreds of people, and I believe they shook hands and embraced have you.
So yeah, they actually appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show together.
They sure did.
Did they really?
They sure did.
So it's quite a story. Quite a story. So what are you doing to try to make sure this is a story that gets told somewhere besides right here on this broadcast?
Well, I think to put this in some context, while what happened in Rock Hill was important, what happened in Alabama and Mississippi a few weeks later was just shocked the conscience of the nation. The Freedom Riders at that point, they got into Alabama. They were attacked by members of the Klan. Mm-hmm. There were agreements between the police chiefs in Anniston and Birmingham that the Klan would have 15 minutes to attack the riders before the police showed up. They burned a bus containing the Freedom Riders, and they barely escaped with their lives in Anniston, Alabama.
I've seen pictures of that many times.
The Kennedy administration had not wanted to go slow with civil rights. They were sympathetic, but not very aggressive. The Freedom Riders forced the Kennedy administration's hands. They saw the violence that was taking place. It was completely unconscionable. They could not stand by. And so this led directly to the Kennedy administration proposing the first Civil Rights Act in 1962. So the Freedom Riders as a whole was an incredibly, one of the most important elements of the civil rights movement in the United States. So with that context in mind, Rock Hill was part of that. Rock Hill was part of one of the most significant civil rights events in American history.
Along with the Friendship
Man. And so we need to tell that story, that Rock Hill was part of that, people like Reverend Ivory were putting themselves at risk by inviting these people to come into their community. Mm-hmm. And do a protest like this. And so we need to tell that story. Most people in Rock Hill don't know that story. So really what we're trying to do right now is we put together a steering committee representing six different organizations in the community. We're working on putting together a public display, probably something similar perhaps to the Freedom Walkway, where the story of the Freedom Riders can be told and where people can experience what that meant at that time and what it means now. We don't really know right now what that looks like. We haven't chosen a location or anything like that. We're really just doing the research right now and really focusing on the local research. There are people in Rock Hill today who were there in 1961. And so we're trying to get those first person memories of what happened and what was it like and what did it mean to you to have the Freedom Riders come to Rock Hill.
And you need to get those stories down and recorded, you know, for a broadcast, because those individuals aren't going to be here.
That's right.
Forever. It's just not going to happen.
That's right, because the youngest of the group would probably be in their mid-70s and up.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned the Freedom Walkway, and I want to take a little sidebar here. you're at the time of the year when you're taking nominations for the new class, the class of 2021. Where are you on that?
Well, Gladys and I are both part of the Freedom Walkway Committee.
Okay.
For those who don't know, Freedom Walkway is a public space in downtown Rock Hill that celebrates celebrates individuals in our community who have sacrificed and put themselves at risk to achieve justice and equality for all the citizens of Rock Hill. And so the inspiration for the Freedom Walkway is the Friendship Nine, because they are the prototype of putting yourselves at risk.
That's right.
You know, they serve 30 days of on the road gang.
Jail, no bail.
For the temerity of trying to eat at a lunch counter.
A hamburger.
Yeah. And so we've honored each year two or three additional people in Rock Hill's history who have sacrificed themselves for justice and equality. The nominations this year are due by June the 30th, so we've got about two more weeks to complete nominations. The nominations can, and the information about nominations can be found on the Freedom Walkway website, which is www.freedomwalkway.com. Mm-hmm. The applications can, there's a PDF you could download. There's an application that can be filled out online. But it's a significant thing to put together an application. We're requiring lots of documentation. It can't be just
research,
something that you heard about and somebody else told you about. We're looking for, you know, real hard evidence of what these people did and the sacrifices that they undertook for their cause.
And so far, you have honored how many people? Your first class
I'm
was like five.
Probably about a dozen or so.
I was going to say about a dozen. And what's important for the community to know is that every year when new nominees are recognized, the ones for the previous years, that their panels are placed in the rotunda area of City Hall.
Right.
So we just want the community to know that they still have an opportunity to go out and read and learn more about the heroes of our community.
Right. And the information about all the people who have been honored to date is on the Freedom Walkway website.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some really inspiring stories that are out there.
You know, we live in a crazy time right now. I mean, we don't know whether it's up or down is up. But it seems to me these stories are so compelling.
They are.
That no matter what your political flavor is, that you would have interest in this. So I'm wondering, is there an opportunity to get these stories into the schools so that you can tell the young kids who are coming up, particularly African-American kids, who have no appreciation for this because they don't know anything about it?
Yeah, and I think that some teachers in the school district have taken the opportunity to bring field trips down and that sort of thing. The school district and really high school students at the Career Development Center, or the Applied Technology Center, have been a key part of this for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. The students at the Applied Technology Center are producing the videos that tell the life stories of the people who are part of this. And so students are playing a major role, and they've done a fantastic job of creating these videos.
Good. We got to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, these two have been on the show before, so I think they remember how to do this. We make fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2, and we always want to remind people how it's done. It's in the white letters, and we say it aloud at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning, and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, but remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410-64.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Comporium's Cloud Voice Services delivers carrier-class cloud PBX and hosted business phone services with all the features expected from a traditional phone system, plus unified communications, instant messaging, mobile apps, video conferencing, and more. Business Cloud Voice takes away all the guesswork by offering a cost-effective, pay-as-you-grow service. It doesn't skimp on quality or features. It won't hurt the bottom line, and it will continue to deliver innovative services year after year. Learn more online at business.comporium.com.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Gladys Robinson is with us today. She is the chair of the African American Cultural Resource Advisory Committee for the City of Rock Hill. Stephen Turner with Historic Rock Hill is with us. We've been spending most of our time talking about the Freedom Riders. What a story. What a story. I mean, you talk about courage. Woo! I tell you. The big part of it right here in Rock Hill is where it all started. So you're in the process of making sure that this story doesn't get lost is what we're trying to do. You're doing that through a number of different venues. Mm-hmm. You're working right now on trying to explain again to Stephen what you're trying to do right now in terms of making sure that this doesn't get lost, this story.
The Freedom Riders in particular.
Yeah, yeah.
No, well, we're trying to create an interpretive place in Rock Hill, probably an outdoor space where there would be stories and photographs and maybe videos and maybe recordings, mm-hmm. a website, a place, again, similar to the Freedom Walkway, where people can learn about this important day in Rock Hill's history, when the Freedom Riders came here, when John Lewis, not for the first time, not for the last time, got beat up for trying to fight for the rights of African American people. So we hope that by the end of this year that we're going to finish our research and know what the story is that we want to tell. And we will begin at that point in to design the space and to find the funding for this. In order to be able to tell this story in a way that's accessible to the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's anywhere near as successful as the Freedom Walkway, it'll be great, because that walkway, the way that thing turned out, and there's a whole other story about how that happened, but we didn't have a walkway there before. That only took a couple generations to get that done. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, City of Rock Hill. But that walkway, the way it's done, it's just nice, particularly in the evening when the lights are on. Very nice. Mm-hmm. And it would seem that the downtown area would be the right place to do this, because all of this was really centered around what was going on in the city of Rock Hill.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we know where it happened, and so I would certainly love to be able to do something in the vicinity of where the bus station stood. At a minimum, we'll do a marker, a historic marker, where the bus station occurred, but whether or not we can find space there to do the real interpretation.
We'll find space.
We'll find the space.
We'll find space. Yeah. We'll find some space. All right, so Gladys, you need to bring us up to speed on what you are doing with the African American Cultural Resource Center, which is located right on Main Street.
People usually refer to it as the Red House.
The Red House. Thank you. You can't miss it.
Because it's red right above the water tower. And as you mentioned earlier, I chair the African American Cultural Resource Advisory Committee. And for the last 5 years, our primary focus has been on the establishment of working through the process of establishing an African American cultural center for the purpose of having a site to not only display the history of the African American community, but to share the culture of the community as well through collaborative efforts and partnerships with other organizations within the community. We feel that this is something that's long overdue, because using the Freedom Riders as a primary example, that so much of our history is being lost. And I guess I think about that even more as thinking about the Black Street Monument and the number of people who have passed on since that monument was built. It was dedicated in 2015. And since then, at least 10 people connected to that monument, family members or individuals who actually work there, have passed on. So all of that is simply a loss of our history. So there's an urgency, is the way I see it, to make sure that we as a community do a better job of not only making our history known, but to gain an appreciation for the value of that history and what it has contributed to not only the African American community, but to Rock Hill's history.
And that monument, if you haven't seen it, it's right there at the intersection of Black Street and
David Law
Boulevard. And it's a monument to really the African American business district that got wiped out pretty much by urban renewal.
I mean, that's right.
And if you want to know what we're talking about, go over to the Lowenstein Building. And when you walk into the Lowenstein Building, right there is this scale model that Gary Williams managed to get from a Clemson engineer who had been working on this for years and years. It's a big, huge thing. And it takes a look at what Rock Hill was like before urban renewal. The trains
are there.
And all the buildings are there. It's quite something to see. So you get an idea of what we're talking about. Oh, my.
A
lot to do. So what you need is a bunch of money. Right?
We do.
And you need to get a lot of people interested in this.
Interested in sharing their stories.
Right.
You know, to be a part of this.
Well, I would think that you would have a very sympathetic city council and a mayor for getting behind all this stuff. Yes? No?
Yes.
Right. So all you have to do is, as you say, Stephen, is get everything together, your research done, get a plan for what you want to do with that research, and then you figure out where we're going to get the dollars and cents.
That's right. And, you know, with the African American Cultural Resource, or the African American Cultural Center, you know, they've been working on that for 5 years. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of promising plans that didn't materialize.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we're at the point right now of going back and redoubling our efforts to try to push that ahead. It's important. And we don't want to wait another 5 years and see nothing happen with that.
Once again, very quickly, for those who want to bid to nominate somebody for the Freedom Walkway class of 2021,
go to the Freedom Walkway website, which is www.freedomwalkway.com, and there's information on submitting a nomination on that site.
Mm-hmm. And you need to get on it because the deadline is June 30th.
June 30th.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Gladys, for being here.
Thank you, Stephen, for what you're doing.
Good to see you both, and that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And on cue, who arrives to lead us in our Substation 2 chant, but Dr. Scott Oliver, who just can't miss being here. He loves being a cheerleader. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes at Substation 2. At the count of three, gang, how do we do it? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.